Welcome to the College Audition Podcast with your host, nationally renowned college audition coach, Tim Evanicki.
Hey everybody, Tim Evanicki here with the College Audition, back again with another episode of the College Audition Podcast. My guest today is Mark Hardy, Coordinator of Musical Theater and Associate Professor at Montclair State University. Thanks so much for joining us, Mark.
Tim, it is great to be here, and hello everybody.
So, as my listeners know, we always like to get to know the person before the program, so I'm going to ask you a few questions about you first. If you could sort of introduce yourself and speak to your career and training that has led you up to your time at Montclair State.
Certainly. Tim, I got into the theater the way most people do, through falling in love with it in high school. I was always a singer, even as a child. And I went to the University of North Carolina at Greensboro as an acting BFA major, but I always studied dance and studied private voice and kept that up. Interestingly, I went to New York to be a classical actor and discovered you couldn't really make a living doing that. So I made a living in the musical theater instead, which led to Broadway shows, national tours, a concert business doing the American Songbook all across the US and Canada with major symphonies. And then at 40, my very fortunate midlife crisis led me to fall in love with teaching. It kind of fell into my lap at a time when I was thinking, what's next? And it has been an incredible second career for me. So I've been teaching now, I'm giving away my age, but I'm teaching now almost 20 years. And Montclair is my third institution, and I'm delighted to be teaching here.
Oh, that's wonderful. So how long have you been coordinator of musical theater there?
Just very recently. I'm in my 10th year, just beginning the 10th year, but I just took over the coordinator position over the summer. Which I'm delighted to be doing. It's a time of change and renewal, and that's a very exciting place to be right now.
Yeah. So when students are actually at Montclair, when will they come in contact with you? Which classes do you teach? I know you teach a Shakespeare intensive.
I do. I teach
at the school, is that correct?
I do. I teach an acting Shakespeare intensive for musical theater actors. A lot of people, you know, in musical theater don't realize what intense crossover there is between the world of musical theater and Shakespeare. In fact, a lot of directors who specialize in Shakespeare really love musical theater actors because of their skill set and their willingness to just jump in. So I do that. I do a senior audition intensive, which is repertoire and technique. It's a series of mock auditions. We have a lot of guests come in. A lot of very intense feedback, during which they explode their audition books and work on material from all genres. And then I occasionally do a business of theater class. This summer I'm going to be leading a study abroad group to Athens, Greece for the month of July, doing a class in contemporary theater from Greek sources that, you know, we'll look at things like Medea and then Marie Christine, Michael John Lacuse's wonderful musical adaptation, things like that. And then we do a lot of special topics. So in any given year, there may be another wild card class that I might teach, depending on what we're doing. Our curriculum shifts based on the industry. It's not set in stone. Every year there are things changing. For instance, this year we just added a course in somatics and healthcare, self-care, holistic, you know, well-being, nutrition, mental health, etc. We just added two sections of hip-hop for the first time, and we're continuing that. This year we also added some new jazz courses. So the curriculum's always in response to the industry.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
So shifting gears and speaking a little bit more about the program now, I normally ask for an elevator speech here. I normally say in 60 seconds or less, tell us why, what Montclair is, but I'm going to change it up a little bit for you. And one of the essays that the students have to write when they're applying to Montclair is basically a why Montclair? Why did you choose Montclair? Mm-hmm. I'm going to turn the tables on you, and I want you to tell me why Montclair. Why should students be looking at Montclair?
Well, first of all, I'll tell you why Montclair for me, because I was already tenured somewhere else, and where I had revamped the BFA acting and the BFA musical theater programs, and was content enough, but I was looking for a very dynamic musical theater program that I felt was actually aimed at preparing students to work in the industry 8 shows a week throughout a career. And I had known of Montclair for a while, but when I really dug into the program, was very impressed at the balance between music courses, acting courses, dance courses, the incredible level of production here. Because we're really producing at a Lort A off-Broadway level every single thing we do, sometimes, frankly, at a Broadway level. And also at the accessibility to New York and the shameless exploitation of the faculty's connections in the business. We're constantly bringing in guest directors, conductors, choreographers, designers to work in the trenches on productions with our students. I would say in any given year, half the projects at least are directed by guest artists who are working in the field. The same with choreography, even more so with conductors and MDs. For instance, last spring we did a sort of COVID production of Titanic, and because I had a long association with the show, we brought in the original musical director, conductor, Kevin Stites, who developed the production with me on our students. So they were working with the original Broadway conductor of Titanic. Pretty thrilling opportunity for them. So, I mean, I think the way in which we balance the training and the way we get them connected while they're still in school, along with the proximity to New York, are the big selling points.
And how far from New York are you?
We are a whopping 12 miles. There's a bus stop a block away, and there is a train stop on campus. Yeah.
So, do you find that a lot of students are going into New York often on the weekends and things?
Often, to go to shows. It's interesting. Most of our dance teachers come from Steps and Broadway Dance and places like that. So a lot of our students will go in to study with them in the city on the weekend, because they love their classes. They'll go in for auditions, which we do allow as long as they request permission. They go in for other cultural things and just to get to be comfortable with the city. So we're very encouraging of that. Yeah.
So when you look at Montclair, great. When you look at Montclair State University, you wouldn't imagine that it's just 12 miles outside of Manhattan. It's a beautiful campus with lawns and sort of a classic college campus feel. Can you speak a little bit about the area that the college is in to sort of give kids an idea of,
sure,
of what it's like?
Sure. So when I took the job, somebody said, oh, you're moving to the Upper West Side of New Jersey. Because Montclair as a city feels a lot like the Upper West Side, not in terms of the buildings, but in terms of the people, what's there, bookstores, restaurants, a kind of hip, very diverse vibe. So Montclair is a very diverse, it's one of the most diverse communities in the state of New Jersey, interestingly. It's very safe. It's beautiful, hilly, tree-filled. Montclair is up on a high hilltop, so we have the best views of Manhattan anywhere. The skyline is there as a beacon on any bad day to cheer you up. The campus is, as you say, sort of bucolic, tree-filled, beautiful, classic college campus. And it's you can walk to the upper village of Montclair from campus, and then the main part of Montclair is another mile or two. Very safe. Yeah. A lot going on in the arts and culture. It's a great food culture here. And we're also close to a lot of really interesting, very diverse areas. Patterson, Clifton, with all kinds of incredible restaurants and really wonderful diversity. So it's a great place to explore a lot of different things, not just education.
Yeah. It really is a beautiful area. And I hope maybe one day we'll be able to get a workshop or something on campus so I can show my students.
I would love that.
Just how close it is, but also how a world of difference it is. 20, I think it's, what, 23 minutes or 20, 25 minutes away?
Yeah, 25. Yeah.
It's a completely different world.
Yeah, one thing, Tim, that I share with parents of potential students and with the potential students. A lot of New York schools, wonderful programs though they are, really lose students to the city, right? When you're living in Manhattan as a young person, it's very hard to focus on homework. It's very hard to do that extra rehearsal because the city is so appealing and compelling. We're just far enough away that you kind of protect your school time. And when you go to the city, it's a special occasion. You know, we do have seniors occasionally moving in the second half of senior year and commuting. But at that point in our program, they have enough free time to do that. I think for most students, it strikes a good balance. Access to the city, but not being in the city every day.
Yeah. I say that all the time to my students. I went to school in New York City, and in most cases, you know, as even though that there were so many wonderful things to do, looking back as an adult and some of the choices I made as far as all of the distractions in New York City that took away from my study, that was probably not the best choice in some cases.
Right.
But let's go back to the program now. And can you sort of just give us an overview? As a freshman arrives on campus for their first day at Montclair, what is the next 4 years look like for them, if we can sort of go year by year and, and talk about an overview?
Well, the first thing we're going to do is a big meeting where we introduce all the freshmen and welcome them and get them oriented. We've been doing a lot of town halls over the last year, sometimes with facilitators, sometimes just between us, so that we've really focused on students, giving students a voice and creating platforms where they have open access to speaking up, speaking in, speaking out about desires, grievances, whatever they need to voice. So we start with a big meeting, and then in the first year we hit them pretty hard right away. They're going to start in acting, they're going to start in basic theory and oral skills in the School of Music. They're going to begin with whatever level they enter in dance, ballet, jazz, and tap. And then we have a couple of specialty classes. We have a vocal tech class where our chief vocal pedagogy person will work with them all on clean technique for the musical theater, and during that semester get to know them really well. Therefore, that person is able to choose the right voice teacher for them. And the second semester they will begin private voice. It's really important the way we offer it. I'm going to take a moment to talk about that, Tim. I know a lot of programs have really struggled with how to offer private vocal instruction because it's enormously expensive. For us, the students are going to have an hour a week with a professional teacher. Most of our teachers also maintain studios in Manhattan. In addition to that teacher, for the hour every week, there will be a professional accompanist. So the teacher's attention is not divided between teaching and playing. And there is only a very small class fee for that. You're not hit with the many thousands of dollars in payment for those voice lessons. It's part of the curriculum. So that's really important to establish. And then they'll continue in voice and dance and acting every semester. And then we get through this theory sequence, and then things like stage makeup come in. As I said before, it's very evenly balanced between the three disciplines. There are some really juicy electives like acting for the camera, stage combat, some other specialty courses that come up in the third and fourth year. So without giving you a blow-by-blow, semester-by-semester, just to say students move through levels. And they can place out of certain things like keyboard skills and theory. They can place higher in dance levels. And there is an acting assessment.
That was going to be my next question.
Oh, yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question about leveling out, because a lot of my dancers, and it just so happens this year, you know, I usually take about 50 students every year. This year I have a very strong group of dancers, so they're all, I'm facing that question very often this year is, you know, if they come in, are they able to level up in their dance?
Yes, they take a placement class for us the first week, and they certainly can level up, and many do. And then we revisit that every, at least once a year, if not every semester, depending on the discipline in dance, mm-hmm. to see where students are. And so it's very individualized attention here. We're not a huge program. We, at any given time, our goal is to have about 80 students. So we're on a first name basis with every student. We advise every student individually. So we can really, to some degree, make a boutique version of the program for that individual student, especially where dance is concerned, where any electives are concerned, or where a student might, say, have a special interest in directing as well. We're able to carve out some time to help the student meet those goals.
Wonderful. Let's chat about the performance opportunities, sort of taking the same route as starting as a freshman all the way through senior. What are their performance opportunities?
Good. So we have discovered that casting freshmen in the first semester is often not the best idea for them because they're adapting to college, learning self-care skills, time management, all kinds of things in that first semester. So we, most years, do not allow freshmen to audition in the fall semester, but they audition late in the first semester and can be cast in any role from there on. We absolutely do not privilege upper class students in casting. We look across all 4 years at the talent and we try to spread the wealth. So you're not going to have, you know, Tim is not going to play the lead and everything for 2 years in a row. We're going to really mix it up for every individual student. But it's really important that your clients and students understand we look at them equally when they start auditioning. Our guest directors often don't know who the freshman is and who the fourth year is. Unless they ask, we don't tell them because there's really no need to. We take responsibility for spreading that wealth out. So there are going to be, in any given year, a minimum of 5 to 6 casting opportunities. Those are going to be 4 fully produced musicals, and then a couple of workshop opportunities. We increasingly develop new work. So right now on our season is a brilliant musical called The Names We Gave Him, which will run in December, which we developed all of last year with the writers who are quite well established. There had been a reading of it years ago at the Public, and they took it back out and got to work on it again with us, and we're now giving it a world premiere. Just to give you an idea of this season, we're starting with Rent, we're doing The Names We Gave Him, we're doing a wonderful madcap production of Head Over Heels, and we're closing with Into the Woods. The workshop productions are not yet announced, but there will be 2 workshop productions in the spring. And those would be about 3 weekers with the writers in a studio, just as you would in New York, probably with a small invited showing at the end. And that might shift in any given year depending on what the project is. It could be a longer workshop. For instance, a couple of years ago, the creators of Reefer Madness came to us and we did a full workshop production of a new version of that, which they were developing. So the workshop slots shift and change. Back to the full production slots, these are fully designed in every way with a mix of student and professional designers. We have a number of theatrical venues that we work in. And we're very proud of the fact that we only use live musicians, and that whatever the original conception of that pit or that band was, that is what we will do. So if it's a 26-piece orchestra, that's what we'll do. If it's a 5-piece rock combo, that's what we'll do. We get our musicians through the Cali School of Music, so we have a wealth of great talent on campus in our music department.
Wow, that I didn't know. I didn't know that you pulled right from there.
Yeah, that's in awesome. Fact, we did
go ahead.
Are
there student-led production opportunities as well?
Yes, there are, Tim. What students can do is apply for a student-led program called FAST, F-A-S-T. The student will write a proposal, and a student panel would choose the projects for that year. This is across programs, by the way, in collaboration with the acting program, musical theater program, and the BA Theater Studies program. That student would be given rehearsal space, a performance venue, a small budget, and then they could proceed to develop. It could be something like the last 5 years, which somebody did a few years ago, or it could be a brand new work. Otherwise, students don't direct in our production season, but they can assistant direct, assistant choreograph, dance captain, etc.
And if the students do that, what facilities are they given to perform in?
They're given a small
student-led shows.
Yeah, they're given a small black box, occasionally a larger studio. It really depends on what's available. But there is a small black box that is usually set aside for that. And then, as I said, a small budget. You know, everything in that program is minimally resourced because we want the focus to be on the work and not mm-hmm. on production, because there isn't a big staff. Mm-hmm. You know, our production staff is very busy building huge shows. So we ask students right. to choose very wisely and to think about, you know, things that can be minimally produced in that program.
And tell us about the other performance spaces on campus.
So we have a 500-seat state-of-the-art theater, which is kind of our jewel in the crown, if you will, on campus, called the Kasser Theater, which is an absolutely stunning space. We share it with a professional.
Beautiful.
Yes, it is beautiful. We share it with a professional series called Peak Performances, which curates performance art from all over the world, plays, musicals, operas, dance, works, things that cross all genres. And they have a full season, and we share that space with them. We also have a 1,000-seat proscenium house, which is quite vast. It's a much bigger stage than any Broadway stage I've been on, certainly. A rather huge production space, and 1,000 seats with full pit capabilities, etc. Then we have a small black box that's about 125 seats, which can be fully reconfigured. We have a WPA amphitheater, which we're in the process of getting rewired so that we can use it for production more. And then there's several other, we have some other studio spaces that have full grids, full sound systems that can be used for theatrical events that seem to suit that kind of pop-up setting. We've done a number of productions in those as well.
And staying in with the performance opportunities, does Montclair do anything to assist students in finding summer work or summer stock?
We do. We are an A1 pre-screen site. They're coming to us Sunday, in fact. And we've had many, many students advance through A1 and get summer work. I created our own in-house version of Straw Hats, if you will, called the Summer Stock Collective, where I invite producers, artistic directors, freelance directors and choreographers to come in and audition only our students in one day. And in that day, they do a full vocal audition, a full dance audition, and they're about 4 hours in the afternoon for individual callbacks. So from these two opportunities alone, I would say about 60 to 70% of our students get firm offers for the summer. We're very enthusiastic about our students going out and working in the summer. We do ask that we approve their contracts just to make sure they're legit, because you know there are all sorts of things out there that students need to be aware of. But we don't.
In this business?
No. Yes, can you imagine? yeah, I mean, I could tell you stories. I looked at a contract last year, and I just looked at the young man and said, "You cannot do this. You absolutely cannot take this job. It's not going to end well." And the theater closed during the first production.
That's great that they have a set of eyes to allow that. That oversight, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
And for those of you who are listening that don't know what those terms A1 and straw hats are, you can absolutely Google it. But basically, they're group audition opportunities for summer stock employment. Like people in the South, everyone goes to SETC, the Southeastern Theater Conference. There's an NETC, and there's a few other opportunities as well. And that Montclair is a pre-screen site for the A1s is a great opportunity. So that the students don't have to do all that much legwork while they're still in school to get those summer opportunities. So that's wonderful.
And Tim, the other thing about that, and a number of other schools are pre-screen sites, but the beauty of the pre-screen is you pay a very small fee. I think it's $20 this year, which basically pays for the accompanist and whatever practicalities of the day. And then you only pay the full audition fee if you advance. Whereas if you just go to them cold as a student, not from a pre-screen school, you're going to pay the full $125 just to have access to the audition, right, not knowing that you stand a good chance. With the pre-screen, you've already been passed on and hand-selected. Mm-hmm. So it's a good thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. And senior year, is there a showcase?
Yes, we do our own New York showcase. We have always been full to busting. There's always been a waiting list. We do it in a really comprehensive way, Tim. We don't just get the stuff together, go into New York and perform it. There are literally months of coachings with New York casting directors and freelance directors. This is not a one-off. This is a class.
Wow.
Students prepare for an entire semester, and they get a lot of individual attention and grooming. And then there are two performances in the city, at least one performance on campus, because believe it or not, some people prefer to come to us. That also allows friends and family to view that. We use it as kind of a dress rehearsal, but it's actually legitimate because we have industry people here as well then. And then there are also some follow-up sort of postmortems from the New York showcase so that the learning goes on. We really try to stress it's not necessarily about walking away from that day with a signed contract. It's about getting meetings. Because what is happening a lot in the industry these days is somebody from an agency will have a meeting with several people and ask them to stay in touch. And then through that first year out of school, people begin to get signed as the agent sees this person is serious, they're actually doing the right things, they're actually in pursuit of a career. So I think it's important that students understand that. It's hard to say, to give you a strict percentage year to year of signings from Showcase, but I think I can reliably report that we're in the 60 to 70% of people who sign within the first few months after Showcase. It's pretty good.
That's high. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is pretty good. When students are at Montclair State University, which is a large, a good-sized school that offers several other majors and things, do they have the opportunity to incorporate other fields of study into their degree program?
Yes.
Can they minor?
Yeah, it's actually required, Tim, because we are not a conservatory. We like to say we're a conservatory-style program housed in a liberal arts environment. So there are general education classes, although we carry the lowest gen ed load by far. This specific degree in the entire university, we're at about 20 or 21 hours of gen ed now. And they're all things the students get to make choices about. Like in computer science, you can take the computer science for music. So you actually learn music programming. For language, you can take a what we think of as a more traditional language, or you can take American Sign Language, which more of my students are doing now. The writing classes, you have some choice about what they are. The literature classes, the world culture classes, actually include theater and dance classes. So there's a way in which all the gen eds directly relate to the degree if the students make that choice. However, if you're an English lit geek like I was, you can steer many of those gen eds in the direction of a special interest. So that's just the gen ed program. You can minor. I have students minoring in entrepreneurship, in business, in the makeup, professional makeup certificate program. A lot of options for minoring. Double majoring is very difficult. The only ones so far who have done it in dance and musical theater. It's very challenging. It takes about 5 years. Although right now I have a double major in math who's doing very well. So we'll see about that. Can you imagine?
Who's doing very well right now? Check back.
He's a junior, so he's surviving. He's an exceptional. Wow. He's an exceptional student. But
that's incredible.
Those avenues are available. We also have an outstanding honors program for any particularly high academically achieving students. The honors program has wonderful perks. And we have a magnificent study abroad program. We have everything from a week to a semester. It can be inside your discipline or not. So there are a lot of options there with studying abroad.
Oh, that's good to know. That's a common question. And then can you give us some of the perks in that honors program?
Yes.
That's a question I get a lot.
So those classes replace general education classes. So essentially you are specializing in, let's say, literature or philosophy in whatever category that class might be in, and you're taking it at a higher level. I think those classes are more like graduate classes in the way they're structured. They're very small, they're discussion based, they're not hardcore lecture classes. So for students who are really motivated, it's enhanced learning, but there's also, I think, about $1,000 perk per year for books and supplies, and they also have access to certain special events and things that not everyone would. I should say, though, that professional series that I mentioned in the Alexander Kasser Theater, which is really magnificent. You can go online and just look up Peak Performances. It's a stunning lineup every year. All of our students have free tickets to every event there. And there are often master classes associated with those that performance students have particular access to. So that's just another general perk of being here. And actually, there have been opportunities on a number of projects where students got on stage in those projects because they were looking for for various, you know, performance skills and added personnel. That's happened several times over the years. I should also mention, Tim, I co-chair the New Works Initiative, which develops new work in addition to some of the musical theater workshops we might do. There's a whole other New Works program here. And along with that, I'll just mention that our students have equal access to audition for the acting program, Season of Plays, as they do musicals. So often we have musical theater majors getting cast in large roles in the plays as well as the musicals.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Can you speak to any other than yourself, of course, notable faculty or alumni?
Sure. Well, we have, we're a faculty entirely composed of working professionals. Our esteemed musical supervisor, who just retired this summer, is Gregory DeLugos, who's a veteran of something like 25 Broadway shows as an MD, as a conductor. The new hire in that area is very exciting, Michael O. Mitchell, who is a really up-and-coming, groundbreaking musical director, composer. who is working on the MJ project, Bound for Broadway, the Michael Jackson musical, and worked on Ain't Too Proud, and he's got a stunning list of credits. He's with us now. Rob McClure was a student here a while ago, who we certainly are proud of, who's done very, very well. Josh Dela Cruz, who went into Aladdin on Broadway and now has his own Nickelodeon show for children. We have a lot of recent grads who are doing extremely well. Mia Pinero, who was one of the Marias in the revival of West Side Story. Darius Jordan Lee, who's in Ain't Too Proud. It goes on and on. We have a lot of students out there working. We had a few students in the National Tour of American in Paris year before last. One of them was a junior. So this is something I want to mention. So you might wonder, so your students are out there auditioning. What happens when one of them snags a big show? So that student can request deferral for a professional credit like that. And if we deem it worthwhile, we will approve it with the understanding that they commit to coming back and finishing. So we've had, I think, 10 students do this since I've been here. They've all come back and finished. Almost all of them have finished on time because we work with them. We move certain things online for them so that they can keep studying when they're on tour or whatever they might be doing. We don't do that for just any old job. But for something that is a potential career builder, career maker, we're realists about that, and we're not going to say, no, you absolutely can't take that Broadway show or that national tour. We would rather the student take the opportunity, come back, finish, complete their education, than to alienate them by saying, that's not important, when of course it's very important.
Yeah. Of course. Of course. Let's switch gears now and move into the audition process for Montclair. First, let's talk a little bit about numbers. Approximately how many applicants do you see each year? Let me ask one question first.
Sure.
Sorry, I got ahead of myself. Do you pre-screen?
This year, about half our auditions are pre-screened. Unifieds are not this year. But all of our in-house, on-site Montclair auditions are pre-screens. So it's 50-50 this year, almost exactly. We'll see how that goes. You know, it's a new age because last year everything was virtual. So all of these platforms are moving to new modalities or hybrid modalities. Right. Tim, I'll say to your students, I think the really valuable thing about pre-screens is it gives everybody equal access. Not everybody has the money to travel to Chicago and spend 4 days at the Palmer House, right? So I think that's important. Right. I will say with complete commitment and assurance, we do not privilege a live audition over a pre-screen. We do not privilege a Montclair audition over a New York or Dallas audition. We really don't. We're going to look at that student equally no matter what the platform.
So how many applicants did you receive last year?
Yeah, last year, because I didn't process all of them, I'm going to take a wild guess here. I should have a firm number for you, but I don't. I'm going to say last year it was between 1,500 and 2,000.
Yeah.
And it's going to be more this year, I can promise you.
Oh, I promise. From those applications, how many live auditions did you see? I mean, last year, I guess.
Last year, there were no live auditions.
So how many live auditions, right? I keep forgetting that last year was a thing.
I know, it's a blank.
So this coming year, how many live audition slots do you have, approximately?
It's a little variable because we have to see how they stack up. But we do 5 full days. It's possible we could add an extra date if demand demands it, and in that day we might see, again, it's a little variable, we could easily see 60 to possibly more people, many days than that. So, you know, live we're going to see 300 to 500, probably.
Great. And other than on campus, where is it that you hold those audition days?
So we will be at the New York Unifieds, the Chicago Unifieds, the Anaheim Unifieds. I'll be at Moonifieds. We will be virtual at the new Pittsburgh Unifieds. We will be virtual at CAP. We will have colleagues at Booker T in Dallas recruiting for us because, of course, it happens the same weekend as Moonifieds, but there are a lot of talented students mm-hmm. there as well. And then we will also accept video auditions from students who, for whatever reason, cannot do any of those.
And from all of those auditions, how many students do you sort of aim for an incoming class?
Yeah, it varies only slightly every year. It's always going to be somewhere between 18 and 22. So we usually land around 20. We don't have any quotas, Tim, so we don't go in there looking for four blondes and, you know, a certain number of BIPOC students and a certain number of men. We really base it on individuals. We're, of course, trying to put together an ensemble, not just a lineup. So we think about that mix as we begin seeing people we're really interested in. We also think about who's already in the program. So you're not going to land here in a pool with 17 other people who are in your exact sort of general type range, whatever that might be.
Right.
So we're really looking at the most diverse class we can find across all descriptors.
Mm-hmm. So what are you looking for when you're watching these auditions? How will a student who wants Montclair as one of their top schools, how will they stand out to you?
Yeah. So this is both my personal taste, but I also can speak for my colleagues. It is our philosophical taste. I am much more interested in the student with real talent, with a real spark, with real fire, than I am the kid who is so hyper-groomed, who has had every possible Broadway workshop in New York and all the summer programs, and comes across like a product. Because the thing that gets us work in this industry is exactly who you are. Your essence, your particular individual spark and self. So that's what we're looking for. Of course, somebody needs to sing on pitch. Of course, somebody needs to have some kind of innate movement skills. But, you know, sometimes 14 years of ballet is 14 years of bad training that we have to try to undo. And sometimes it's exquisite training. But let's be clear, all those years and all those workshops doesn't necessarily make that student desirable for us. It's somebody who can communicate honestly who they are, who has drive, apparent work ethic, a certain strength of character and integrity. And believe it or not, you do get clues to all of this in the audition process. So I would say for us, it's that spark of something very special, unique, that sets somebody apart that we're looking for. We don't really want to graduate product. We want to graduate artists.
I love that. I love that product analogy that you're giving, and I may quote you on that regularly. You're looking for people and not products.
We are.
You're looking for real. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's great.
And you know, I'll just give you an example of the people part of it, Tim. I just had a student come to me who is a BIPOC student in a particular group. And she said, you know, I love everything I'm doing, but I just found out, but I'm finding a problem because I'm feeling a little isolated from my people. And the campus group affiliated with my people conflicts with my dance, my jazz section. And I said, I'm going to put you in another section because you need to be free to go to that caucus that gives you a sense of centeredness and home and for which you are passionately advocating. Because you need to be a person for 4 years, not just a musical theater student. So I think we're a place that nurtures the individual and not just trains a future performer.
Wonderful. What's something you're looking forward to as we're just beginning a new school year?
Well, already I'm delighted just to be in the room with everybody, even if we're masked, which we still are here. Right. People can demask in front of the class if they're working at a distance, you know, and they feel comfortable with it. But I'm thrilled at how that's feeling. I feel everybody opening up. And I'm really excited to get back to a production season that is unmasked. We did a full season last year in masks, and we're really proud of it. But let's be honest, it was a little busted because you're wearing masks, right? It's very hard to fully communicate when most of your face is covered. So I'm really excited about working on productions again without that barrier. I think it's gonna wake everybody's soul up.
Yes. Yes, indeed. I'm looking forward to a real audition season as well this year.
Yes.
In person, and the traveling again, and that's just, it just feels so good to be back there again.
It does.
Mark, it's been such a pleasure to sit down and chat with you today about Montclair State University and the musical theater program there. I hope that we can be in touch real soon and put some more stuff together for our students.
Tim, thank you for the time. It's been really a delight. Anytime I can be here with you, I will say yes.
Awesome. And if students have more questions about the program, what is the best way to get in contact with you?
You can email me at hardyma@montclair.edu, or you can email our auditions coordinator at thauditions@montclair.edu.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you so much for sitting down with me again, and we will chat real soon.
Such a pleasure, Tim. Be well.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
For more information on the exciting training, workshops, and masterclasses offered by The College Audition, please visit us online at www.thecollegeaudition.com or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and TikTok.